Good afternoon. We anticipate this week the reading of Parshas Emor. So I thought maybe we'd move right to the middle of the parsha of the Moadim, since we find ourselves between the Yom Tov of Pesach and hoping to, Bezos Hashem, soon be at the Yom Tov of Shavuos. So Torah introduces the psukim of the Moadim. It says, Eile Moadei Hashem asher tikru osam b'moadam. These are the Moadim of Hashem. Rav Pinkus, in his Sefer and Chumash, says something very interesting. He points out, he says, you know, for years, he growing up heard many Musar Shmuzin, heard different people talking, and he said he had the privilege of hearing from great people, from Rav Yechezkel Levinstein, from Chaim Shmulevitz, great mashgichim. And he said so many times, they would, as they're beginning the drasha, and they're in the throes of the drasha, they would say, this is the yesod shekol haTorah kula, this is at the foundation of everything in Torah. But then they would be listening to, he says, that, you know, he remembers listening to a shmuz, and it's the next week, or it's a different time. And again, about a totally different topic, they would say also, this is the Yisod Shel Kol HaTorah Kula. This is at the foundation of all of Torah. He says, it was true by the Yomim Tovim also, when it was time to give the drasha on Pesach, so then the line in the drasha would always be, you have to realize that Pesach, everything depends on Pesach. And the Shavuos, Sukkot, Rosh Hashanah, Kippur, all of that is out of the equation at the time. But later, when it would be time for the other Yom Tovim, so then it would change, and that Yom Tov would be at the center of Kol HaTorah Kula. So what exactly is going on here? Then he says he remembers that when he started giving drushes, he noticed it about himself also, that when he would talk about certain topics in public, he would realize that he had the same weakness, and that whatever topic he was talking about, that was the Yisod Shel Kol HaTorah Kula. That was at the foundation of everything that the Torah is about. So he said, what's going on here? Why is it that these great people seem to be falling into this trap of everything, whatever they happen to be talking about, that is the Yisod Shel Kol HaTorah Kula. So he explains with a mashal. He says the mashal is similar to the human body. Says when you're speaking about the way the human body works and the health of the human body, and you want to know what is the main part of a person, what is the essential part of the anatomy of the person. So you could have different answers. It could be the brain, the mind. The brain is the ikar, is the main, because that's where everything, that's the control center. That's where everything comes from. That's where his mind is. That's where his rutzon is. That's where everything is taking place. But at the same time, we know hadam hu hanefesh, and you need the blood. And without the blood, then it's impossible to live. There's no way for the oxygen to go and for the body to be able to survive. But at the same time, the same thing is true about the bones. If there's no structure to the body, you can't live also. And the heart is also like that. So what do you see? He says that there are times when you're dealing with something which is so essential, then there can be multiple aspects that in fact stand at the core. And the same way with the human body, that they need each other, but each one can't, you can't say that any one of them is not an essential part. So when you're looking at that part specifically and you're focusing on that, you have to focus on that part as being the essential part. And he says the same thing is true when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. That in order for the world and Avodas Hashem to be able to stand, it requires a certain perspective. And that perspective is that whatever we're up to at that time, since it's all essential and they're all necessary, so that at that time is the Yisod Shel Kol HaTorah Kula. Whatever we're dealing with right now, that is what's at the Yisod, because in the end, you need all of these things. And you can't say that one is, in fact, more important than the other. So the most important thing is to be able to fully focus on whatever it is that's in front of you. That's the first idea from Rav Pinkus. The next idea actually comes from a Ramban. It's also talking about the Moadim. And the Ramban says in Perek Chav Gimel and Pasuk Lamed Vav, he's commenting that Torah goes through the days of the Yom Tovim, and after the Torah describes the Yom Tov of Sukkot, the Torah says that there's one day at the end which is Atzeres Hi. It's the Yom Tov at the end, which we know as Shmini Atzeres. After the Yom Tov, it's Atzeres. So Ramban quotes from Rashi, what does Atzeres mean? Is Atzarti Yaschem Lefonai, I held you back to be with me. Similar to, he says, a minister or a leader who invites his children to a feast, a festive meal for a certain number of days. Kevan Shegiya is manly potter. When it comes time to, it's over and it's time for his children to leave, he says, no, Amar, Bibakashim, you can please. Ikvui mi odio mecha, shekasha alai predafim. Stay one more day. I'm not ready to part with you. I'm not ready for you to leave. It's too difficult for me. So he says the same thing Kevyacha HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, that after you've spent the Yom Tov of Sukkot together with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I need one more day. I want you to have one more day where you just spend that time with me, because the fact that we're going to be separating from the Kedusha of the Yom Tov, the special relationship that exists with Hashem on Yom Tov, is difficult for me. So the implied question that the Ramban is dealing with is, so then how come on Pesach, we do have Yom Tov at the end of Pesach, but it's not a separate Yom Tov. It's not an Atzeres in the same sense. As we know from our observance of Pesach, there's no Shechionu the last days of Pesach. It's a continuation, and it's described as such in the earlier Pesukim in this week's Parsha, that it's the beginning is Yom Tov, the end is Yom Tov, but it's all part of one unit. What happened to this? What happened to the Atzeres? So Ramban explains that in fact there is an Atzeres when it comes to Pesach as well. He says that on Sukkot, what do you have? He says you first have the Kedusha of the Yom Tov of Sukkot, then you have the Chol HaMoed, and then it culminates with the celebration of Shmini Atzeres. He says the same paradigm actually exists when it comes to Pesach. How so? He says the entirety of the Yom Tov of Pesach, from the beginning to end, the whole 7 days of Pesach, is all that unit of Yom Tov, that special time together. Sfiras HaOmer is that which connects the Yom Tov with the Atzeres. The Atzeres, which is in fact Shavuos, is the Yom Shenitna Bo Torah. And the days of Sfira, the days in which we find ourselves right now, the Ramban says those are like the Chol HaMoed. Those are the in-between days. That serves the same way the Chol HaMoed, Sukkot, leads to that Atzeres. He says it's a much more expanded. Pesach is the time of the Geula. It's a special relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we need it even more. And that's really the role that Sfira HaOmer plays. Sfira HaOmer is part of taking the experience of Pesach and making sure that it continues, and for all of these days, as we reach to the Yom Tov of Shavuos, which is known in Chazal as Atzeres, the same name as Shmini Atzeres, it has in fact that same connection. So the same way that on Sukkot you have Yom Tov, Chol HaMoed, and then the Atzeres, so too in fact the Yom Tov of Pesach is one extended Yom Tov, followed by not the Chol HaMoed that we're accustomed to thinking of, but Sfira in a certain sense acts as that Chol HaMoed. Those are the intermediary connecting time, which leads us in the end to the special time that we are Zocha to spend together with HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the Yom Tov of Shavuos. The third thing that I wanted to talk about comes from the end of the Parsha, from the Parsha of the Mikalel. Torah says in Perek Chav Dali, Pasuk Yud, Vayitzei ben Isha Yisraelis, Hu ben Ish Mitzri B'soch b'nei Yisrael, and this man goes out, who's the son of a Jewish woman and a Mitzri man, and he goes out and he curses Hashem, and he is punished. Rashi comments on the language of Vayitzei. Where is he coming from? So Rashi says, Meheichan Yotza, where did he come out of? Rabbi Levi Amar Meolamo Yotza. He went out of his world. He separated himself. Rabbi Brachya Omar Mi Parsha Shalemala Yotza. He disconnected himself from the previous Parsha. What's the previous Parsha? Was the Lechem HaPanim. Ligleg V'Amar Bayom HaShabbos Yarachenu. And he made fun. He said, we eat the Lechem HaPanim was eaten by the Kohanim on the following Shabbos. After he was put there, he was sitting there for a week. Derech HaMelech. That is this appropriate for the king to eat bread which is cold, that's been sitting there for days already? But in fact, Chazal tell us that everybody knew there was a nace that took place, that the bread remained warm. So apparently, even though he could see that it was warm, he tried to make fun. He tried to bring this cynical attitude towards the lechem apanim. So there's a common denominator between these different reasons that are given. So the Shem HaTov suggests that Efshar Lomar Dein Kam Plug, there's no machlokas. Ela Kol HaTamim Olim B'Kana Echa. They all go in one direction. Dimishum De Ligleg VaAmar Shei Efshar Sheyacham. Once he was cynical, once he had that negative attitude, he said, "It can't be that it's chal, that it's warm still. That the bread has been sitting there for a week and it's warm." Afal Pi Shamar Chazal, even though Chazal said that they lifted it up from the Shulchan, and the people that came from the Ola Regel could see that when they took it off, there was still steam coming up, it was still warm. He disconnected himself. Once he made those negative comments had a real effect, and it blocked his ability to be open to anything else. That's the koach of Dibor. There's been a lot of talk this week about Donald Sterling and his abhorrent racist comments. And the content of his comments certainly doesn't need my commentary. But I think there's a more subtle point that gets lost in the bigger picture, which is important to point out. And that is that he didn't do anything. All he did was speak. As far at least this incident is concerned, he didn't physically hurt anyone. All he did was talk. And yet, rightfully so, the outrage was unprecedented. Players prepared to walk off the court in the playoffs as the ball is being thrown up at center court, something which is almost unimaginable. And I'm not trying to take away from the gravity of what he said. In fact, my point is the opposite. Is what you see from the reaction is how powerful and how damaging and how hurtful words can be. The power of Dibor, the special gift that was given to man, it separates us from the animals, is a very, very strong one. And the reason it intrigues me in this case is because when it comes to speech, the NBA is not exactly known to be so clean. Trash-talking, negative speech towards others is basically accepted, as long as it doesn't cross certain lines. And I think that besides tolerance, which certainly needs to be reminded and learned and examined after the episode, but the lesson that should be taken away is just how painful words alone can be and how real words are. I've shared in the past in other contexts a poem that I like. It goes, I can't recall the author offhand, but it goes, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words could never hurt me. And this I knew was surely true, and truth could not desert me. But now I know it is not so. I've changed the latter part. For sticks and stones may break the bones, but words can break the heart. Sticks and stones may break the bones, but leave the spirit whole. But simple words can break the heart, or silence and crush the soul." Hateful and painful words can be directed at an individual as well. It doesn't have to be directed at a broader group of people, and it really, really can hurt. And sometimes, as with McCallell, they may not even be intended to hurt. It may be a cynical comment. It may be a humorous one. Maybe trying to get that one-liner in. It always feels good to be that funny person that people are turning towards and people are listening to. But the unintended effects of words are very, very real. And different people have different sensitivities. And the effects of our words are something which we're not in control of. Once it leaves our mouth, it's free. It's literally poreach ba'avir, and it can go much further than we ever intended it. And that's perhaps the lesson, a more subtle lesson to be reminded of in light of the current events, but also what the Mekalel and what Rashi and Chazal are trying to highlight, is that what took place with the Mekalel was something which was so important and so terrible. Because, again, it began with the Dibor, and the koach of Dibor and the power of our speech is something that we can never take for granted, and we need to be very careful how we use. And certainly during Sfira, when the Talmid of Rabbi Akiva died, Shlonagu Kavod Zebazeh, what does that mean? It means that we have a responsibility not just to not hurt somebody else, but to uplift, to show respect to other people. And even joking at other people's expense can be hurtful, whether or not they say anything, and you may never know the full effects of your words. But that's this lesson of Sfira, and if Sfira is that time which connects Pesach and Shavuos, Pesach, that time of Geula, and connects us to the Yom Tov of Shavuos, it's certainly a time to take heed and to think and to reflect on how we use our words, the power that our words have. And again, even when unintended, to try and sometimes put ourselves in the other person's perspective, who may not have the same sensitivities, and see, in fact, if that joke is something which is going to have a positive effect, or Rahman al-Latsan will have a negative effect on other people. And if we can do that, then hopefully we can be misakim what Sfira Somer is all about. I got in trouble last week for forgetting to have a trivia question, so I'll pay kefil and provide two trivia questions for this week. The first is that the Torah tells us at the beginning of the parsha that the Bas Kohen, the daughter of the Kohen, who is mizana is punished with sreifa, with being burned. There are four times in the Torah where fire is used, not just given as the potential punishment, but fire is actually used to punish people. What are those four times in the Torah? And the second one is that there are three different halachos in this week's parsha that relate to broken bones. What are the three different halachos that relate to broken bones? Have a wonderful week and an uplifting Shabbos.